know, I really believe that most people in this world, most people, I'm sure not all, but most people want to be useful in life. And most people want to serve others in this life. Y'all agree with that? Just give me a little nod. Don't get too excited. But where is the best place, according to the Bible, for a Christian to serve the Lord? Where is the best place, according to the Bible, for a Christian to serve or to be used? The local church. The answer, of course, is in the local church. Today, as we continue our sermon series on the local church, today we're going to be looking at the local church provides us a place to be useful and serve. To be useful and serve. See, we're in this little, the overall series is on the local church, and we may be in this for a little while because the Bible has an awful lot to say about the local church. So we may be in that a while, but the part we're looking at in particular is four personal values of the local church. Four personal values of the local church. Last week in particular, we looked at the local church provides us support in life, a sense of belonging, and a place to be loved. That was all under one point. And again, this morning, we're going to be looking at the local church provides us a place to be useful and to serve. You see, I believe the church is a very practical place to be. I mean, it's not just like, well, I go to church because if the preacher finds out I've been playing hooky, he may give me a call. Now, that's really not the best reason to come to church, right? Or I'll go to church because it's expected of me. Or I'm coming to church because I'm kind of in my mind punching that heavenly time clock and then putting in my time. That's not the best reasons to come to church. You see, I believe that the local church is such a blessing. I mean, I believe it's intended for us to want to come to God's house because there are so many very personal values that we gain by being here. You know, I think everybody, as we talked about last week, they want to be loved. They want to have a sense of belonging. They want to know that they are in this world for some purpose. We talked about that last week. But what about service? What about service to the Lord? You know, the church is set up for us to serve God through the local church. The ministries of this world, for the most part, should center out of the local church. You see, God thinks a lot of the local church. You know that? You know, God loved the church so much that he gave his life for the church, right? And that's all the people that are Christians, but this is our picture. This is our snapshot of the church. Universal is right here in this local church. And most of the references in the Bible, there's like 114 references to that Greek word church in the Bible. And a huge number, 90%, I saw as high as 95% of those references are in reference to the local church. But I think a lot of times we kind of take it for granted. We kind of take it for granted that the local church will always be there. And we're kind of like, yeah, it'll be there whether I go or not. It'll be there whether I tithe or not. It'll be there whether I support that ministry or not. And I don't think God is real happy whenever we take the local church for granted. I mean, it's intended to be a blessing. This series is intended to be a really encouraging, uplifting sermon series because of all that we have in the local church. What a blessing the local church is supposed to be to the life of a Christian. I want you to do something for me. If you would, close your eyes for just a moment. We're not praying, but just close your eyes. I want you to think about this. What if I did not have a local church to go to? Just think about that for a moment. How traumatic would that be to your life? How would that make you, how would that make you feel if you did not have a local church to go to? Just think about that for a moment. All right, look up here. I hope that God impressed upon your heart that you would really miss the local church. Again, I say, quite clearly, I really do not think that we value the local church the way that God does. I really don't think that we value the local church the way that we should according to the Bible. Again, this morning, the local church provides us a place to be useful and serve. Now, I'm going to make a few statements here about the local church, and then we're going to look at that point in particular. The local church is a group of saved and scripturally baptized people who agree doctrinally. Okay, let's stop right there. The local church is a group of people. Now, specifically, that group of people is to be saved. They must believe in Jesus as their Savior. All right? Now, when we sit down with people that want to join our church, that's one of the first things we do. We say, okay, give us your testimony, how you trusted Jesus as your Savior. Secondly, we say, okay, since you did that, have you been baptized scripturally by immersion? That's the second question we normally ask. So it's a group of people who are saved, who have followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Now, we know the Bible does not teach that you're saved by baptism. But it's that first step of obedience where we, before the church and the world, say, I am a Jesus follower. You always see in Scripture, look at the book of Acts in particular, salvation and then baptism. Salvation and then baptism. And they're not intertwined, as some teach, as far as, well, you have to be baptized in order to be saved. I don't know, the thief on the cross would have a real problem with that. When Jesus said, I'll see you in paradise, right? So, it's a group of people, number one, that's saved, number two, that's baptized scripturally by immersion, and number three, who agree on the doctrine in the Word of God. Now, I think it's important, and our church feels that way too, and ever since this church has been a church, as best as I know, it's important that we emphasize the doctrine in which we believe. You know, it's important, if we're not careful, we can have our own little way of thinking and say, well, that's the way I think about it. Well, God really doesn't care what I think about it. God is only concerned about what he thinks about it, and I better get in line with what he thinks about it. And I think it's important, I think it's essential, I'd use the word crucial, that we in the local church agree doctrinally on what the Bible teaches. I mean, we could feel totally different about salvation. And boy, what a mess that would be, right? They could profess to know Jesus, profess to having been baptized, but I believe salvation is you knock on every one of those blocks on that right wall over there and you're going to be saved. Now, that might be a little bit of a challenge, but it's not the way you're saved. The only way you're saved is by grace through faith. Okay, now, I could say a whole lot more, but generally speaking, the local church is a group of believers who have been baptized scripturally by immersion and who agree doctrinally on what the Bible teaches. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I mean, it's important. We know that when we come together that we're on the same page, so to speak. And you know, the primary role of the local church, primary role, pay real close attention, is to glorify God. Glorify God. And how do we do that? Primarily by reaching the lost for Jesus and by maturing the saved for service. Now, that ended up being kind of long, didn't it? But let me say it one more time. The local church is a group of saved and scripturally baptized people who agree doctrinally and whose role is to glorify God primarily by reaching the lost for Jesus and maturing the saved for service. You know, don't you think that in those responsibilities of glorifying God by reaching the lost and by maturing the saints, by maturing those that have been saved, don't you think that opens up a lot of areas of responsibility for us in the church, for those that are members of the church? There's a whole lot of work to do, don't you think, in those two areas? Now, some of you, I don't know, did you fall asleep somewhere along the line? Was that definition too long? Everybody still awake, alert, alive, and enthusiastic? If you are, I'm going to test your amen-er, okay? One, two, three, you're going to say amen. One, two, three. Amen. That was pretty good. Try it again. One, two, three. Amen. Good. The reason I did that, because some were nodding off, and if they shouted loud enough, they're no longer asleep. But this is really, really, really important. What did God have in mind when he put in place the local church? Now, you're not going to find anybody that's more pro-local church than I am. I'm telling you. And I didn't have to come to a point in my life say, light bulb, come on, local church is important. The local church has always been important to me. Remember, I was taken to church even before I was born. I was in the womb and I was in church. I bet I was in there saying, amen, amen, amen. But nobody could understand me. But then I was brought up in church. My mom went to church. I was saved when I was 11. I've always been part of a local church. And it's important to be part, to be a member of a local church. And I think if we're not careful, we're like, oh, ho-hum. He's talking about the local church again. I mean, this is big. I mean, think about it. This is the institution that God left on this earth to spread the gospel. This is the institution, if you will, that God left on the earth to mature us and to draw us closer to the Lord. Now, that's big. Now, I can think all I want to about the local church, and I can say, don't think it's that big a deal. I don't think I really even need to come to church. I really don't. I mean, I can think all I want to, but if I'm not in line with the Word of God, I better straighten up and fly right, and I better recognize that this local church is important. And every church that is proclaiming, rightly proclaiming, those Bible-believing and preaching churches, as we say, God has put them in the place they are for a specific reason. Now, we're looking at an opportunity to serve. You see, there's a place for usefulness and service for every member of Oak Mound. Every member of Oak Mound. And if you're not a member, this is not going to be one of those messages that every 5 minutes you're going to hear, you ought to join this church. But if you're not part of a church, you ought to join this church. Really. If there's any way that you can, God wants you to be a member of a local church. You see, every local church that is established by God and is faithful to his word should have what's in its membership, should have within the membership of that church people that can step up and say, I want to serve. I want to do this for God. You see, it's kind of like saying that God wants the church to do this, but he hasn't given us the tools. I don't believe God's like that. I believe that right here in our midst today, and plus the ones who aren't here today, you put them together and God says, you know what? I've given Oak Mound everything they need to reach the lost and everything they need to mature the Christians in their walk with God. Really, I believe that God has given. Now, it's up to us to step in our place and say, okay, I'm joining the church. Okay, I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do. And when that happens, we can start to move forward for the Lord. You agree with that? Now, today, what a blessing the local church is. It should not be a drag. It should not be a curse. It should not be an inconvenience. It should be for you and I to have the opportunity to fulfill what God has for each one of us and what God has for the local church. Again, the big point today, the local church provides us a place to be useful and serve. Under that today, point number one, reaching the lost for Jesus is a big job. Reaching the lost for Jesus is a big job. Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. Now, we know this is the Great Commission, all right? But listen to how big this commission is, all right? It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All right? So he says, God has given me all the power, and I'm going to pass it on to you for the reason that I'm going to mention right here. Go ye therefore and teach, what is it? All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, a lot could be said. A complete message, or about six of them probably, could be preached from this passage. But the point is, go ye therefore and teach all nations. What a huge job that is. Would you agree with that? And it's up to us in the local church to recognize that our role is to reach the lost. How many of you would think there's probably at least 100 people in Clarksburg that are lost? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you would think would say, I'll bet there's at least 1,000 in Clarksburg that are lost? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you would say there's a pretty good possibility that there's at least 5,000 people in this area that's lost? Raise your hand. You know, and I could keep going and going and going, probably, because there's a lot of people that are lost in Clarksburg. But you know, our responsibility is there, but also our responsibility goes all around the world. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Notice what it says. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the, what? Uttermost part of the earth. You see, our responsibility to reach the lost starts right where we're at. But the circles keep getting bigger, just like that verse. And it goes to the uttermost parts of the earth. And you might say, well, I bet there's at least 5,000 lost in Clarksburg. But what about all around the world? You know, there's about 8.5 billion. That's a lot of people. Billion with a B. How many of them do you think are lost? A bunch. Let's just say that. A bunch. You see, we got a big responsibility of sharing the gospel with the lost. If you're looking for something to do, boy, I got something for you to do. You see, that's to be a priority of the church, is to reach the lost. Since God has told us to do it, we should do it, don't you think? What about the outreaches of our church? They're a lot of work. Y'all agree with that? And I'm going to apologize ahead of time if I forget some ministry or some office or something as I go through this sermon, because I might have just forgotten. But what about the Easter egg hunt coming up in March 29th? I really do appreciate in honor of my birthday having an Easter egg hunt. That's really... really something. I'm glad about that. I should get the golden egg or something, right? But why do we do that? It's not because we believe in the Easter Bunny. It's not because we want to fill these kids up with a bunch of chocolate and send them home so that they're bouncing off the walls. We want the opportunity to share the gospel. You see, Oak Mound provides opportunities like that. Quite a few of them, if you haven't noticed. The Easter egg hunt is one. What an opportunity to reach the lost. We have a Christmas parade. That's a lot of work. I mean, we're packing the eggs for the Easter egg. We pack those Ziploc bags with candy and gospel tracts. We gave out like 2,300 this past Christmas parade. Why do we do that? Because as the local church, we have the responsibility to do our best to reach our world for Jesus. And let me tell you, what an opportunity we have. What an opportunity we have as members of Oak Mound, and even people that just have been attending, to be a part of that. I mean, that's awesome, don't you think? I mean, you think about that. How many of the 2,300 tracts that went out do you think were given to people that don't know Jesus? I have no idea. But I'd say a pretty good number. And that gospel tract can change their eternal destiny. Did you hear me? Change their eternal destiny. And what is one of the blessings of a local church? It gives me an opportunity to serve in ministries like that. And that's not all. There's other ministries that I jotted down here. What about the fireworks outreach? Last year we were almost overwhelmed. I'm not sure where we're going to put those extra cars this July, whatever day they do the fireworks. They've not set the time yet that we know of. The day. But you know what? Why do we do that? Why do we give out a gospel tract, something about liberty or freedom? Why do we give them a free hot dog? Why do we give them a bag of chips and a bottle of water? Why do we do that? It's part of it, to be a good part of community. That's a good thing. But we're doing it because we want to reach them with the gospel. You see, our church does that, and you have opportunity to be part of that, and a big chunk of you have been. What about the fall festival or the back-to-school bash or that thing we call Vacation Bible School? What about even the camps that we offer? Opportunities. What about the shoeboxes that we fill? There are opportunities to reach the world starting right here in Clarksburg with the gospel. You know, don't take those opportunities for granted. Do you know there's a lot of churches that really couldn't care less about getting the gospel out? Many of these churches have lost the gospel message altogether. And they might have something nice for the community, but the gospel doesn't go out. That will not happen as long as I'm your pastor. When we do outreaches, we understand the purpose of that outreach is to try to lead someone to Jesus. Now, there's other good things. Giving them a hot dog is a good thing. Being a good part of community, smiling at people, and just getting them to understand that we love them, that's great. But our ultimate goal is to see that they come to know Jesus as their Savior. But you see, Oak Mount offers that as an opportunity as a local church. Wow. You and I have the privilege of reaching the lost with the gospel through this local church. The local church provides us a place to be useful and serve. First of all, reaching the lost for Jesus is a big job. If y'all agree that reaching the lost for Jesus is a big job, just give me a little or amen, whichever one works. Secondly, helping to mature to grow us in the Lord in the local church is a big job. Y'all agree with that? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I think I need a drink of tea. Got a little scratch in my voice. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Helping to mature those in the local church is a big job. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verses 7 to 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 13. It says, "But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Now, what is it talking about here, gifts? It's speaking of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Now, that's a huge study in and of itself. But I believe that everyone, when they're born again, receive at least one spiritual gift. And that's a supernatural endowment that God has given to you. In other words, something that you're really good at. You know, the gift of faith. Some people look at an old, dilapidated old building and they say, "Boy, what a junk heap." But people that have been supernaturally endowed with faith or trust look at that building and say, "You know what? That could be a Bible college for Jesus. Or that could be a teen center where people could come and have a fun activity." You know, we're all supposed to have faith, but sometimes God specially endows people with that spiritual gift of faith, and they can see big. And that's just one of the spiritual gifts. Another one is teaching. You know, God gives certain people the gift of teaching, and they can make it so plain, and they work so well with people in the sense of getting them to get it. Another one is pastor-teacher, and that's one of the gifts that God has blessed me with, the ability to shepherd as well as teach the Word of God. Shepherd the people and teach the Word of God. Now, when God gives you that gift, it's our responsibility to use that. When God ever gives me a green light, I'll teach on the spiritual gifts, and we'll look through them and try to figure out what gift God may have given to us. You may be given more than one, but at least one that God gives you at salvation. Now notice as I read this, it says, now he that descended, verse 9, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And notice here, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, some of those sign gifts we felt were sign gifts only for the apostolic time, and we'd feel that the gift of apostles, there are no more apostles, and there are no more prophets, but there are evangelists, and there are pastor teachers. But notice the purpose of those gifts. It says, for the perfecting of the saints. You know what that means? For the maturing of the saints. You see, God gave you a spiritual gift to be used in the local church so that every one of us will grow up in our walk with God. It says, for the work of the ministry. You know, God uses the spiritual gifts that he's given to us, and we can do certain ministries and feel so comfortable with it. We're like, yeah, I'm a little nervous, but God gifted me in this area, and that's going to work. Y'all still out there? All right. It says, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And you know what that means? That means the building up of the body of Christ. You know, this is really a huge, awesome thought. You say, I want to serve. I want to be useful in life. If you're a child of God, you need to be plugged into the local church, and you need to be using the area of giftedness that God has given to you to help mature those that are saved. I mean, do y'all remember the teachers that you have or had in the past and even have today? You know, hopefully and prayerfully, they have the gift of teaching. And when you come to Sunday school, and that's really, 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 really been a weak area here lately. We got so many people that don't come to Sunday school. We basically have a handful of people coming to Sunday school. You know, that's the opportunity we have to sit under men that have been gifted, or ladies for the kids that have been gifted to teach. And you see, part of our responsibility is to help people grow. And we can answer questions, and we can say, you can raise your hand and say, teacher, I got a question. And then we can say, I don't know the answer, but I'll figure it out. Or does anyone have the answer? It's such a good time together. But you see, God has blessed us with a local church with people that should be using their giftedness for God to mature and grow those who are saved. We're never supposed to be saved and then just stop. We're supposed to be progressing in our walk with God. The moment we say, I'm done, I've arrived, we're in a heap of trouble, don't you think? I must be talking too fast. You're looking at me really funny. But these spiritual gifts, it says, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, we should be a work in progress, looking more and more like Jesus, acting more and more like Jesus. And that happens in the local church when people use their giftedness to serve God. Ministries like this are particular. Now, there's always crossover, but ministries like the ones I'm going to mention that our church offers, they're primarily intended to help us mature in our walk with God. Remember, our goal is to glorify the Lord, right? How? Primarily by reaching the lost and maturing those who are saved. Ministries like Sunday school, ministries like preaching from this pulpit, ministries like the choir and the specials here. It's supposed to encourage us in our walk with God and help us to mature in our walk with God. Women's mission and men's fellowship, a good opportunity to mature in our walk with God. Special services like the Good Friday service we're going to have coming up. Sunrise service, the Easter services, the things around Christmas. Why do we have those things? Primarily so that we that are saved will grow and mature in our walk with God. And prayer meeting and Bible study, isn't that a good opportunity to grow and mature in our walk with God and to pray for one another? What about junior church where the kids are now? Isn't that a good opportunity to grow in our walk with God? Absolutely. You see, you and I have the privilege of helping the saved in our church grow in their walk with God. That's huge. The local church provides us a place to be useful and serve. First of all, reaching the lost is a big job, but we have the privilege of being part of those ministries that try to reach the lost. Helping to mature those in the local church is a big job, but you and I have the privilege with the giftedness that God has blessed us with to help people grow in their walk with God. And lastly, number three, all the other functions of the local church, they're a big job. You see, our primary goal is to reach the lost and to mature Christians, but there are other things that go on in the church, right? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to pay real close attention to a few phrases that are used here. You see, all the other functions of the church outside of winning the lost, outside of growing Christians, you know, there's certain things that just need to happen in the life of a church. They may be considered mundane, but they have to happen in the life of the church. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. It says, now there are diversities of gifts. In other words, there's different gifts that God gives to us. Back to the spiritual gifts idea. Everybody with me on that? All right. But the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And there are differences of administrations. Do you know what that probably means? There's a variety of ministries that we might have. And then it says, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations or activities, whole bunch of different activities that we can do for God. It says, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Those spiritual gifts are given to every man. Why? To profit with all. So God gives me a spiritual gift to be a blessing to the church. God gives you a spiritual gift to be a blessing to the church. But there's a whole lot of functions, even outside of winning the lost, outside of growing or maturing the saved. Now, drop on down to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the same chapter, verse 14. Now, this is an interesting analogy. It likens all those that are saved. Now, we've been baptized into the body of Christ, right, when we were saved. But it says we are a body. Listen to this. It says, for the body is not one member, but many. And And then it goes on. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Now a lot could be said about it, but do you kind of get the picture of the body? And basically it's the whole body of Christ, but we see it on many scale right here in the local church. You know, there's people that God has called to be the hands of the church. There's people that God have called to be the ears of the church or the feet of the church. And none are more important than others. But we need to work together. Now, have you ever sat for a long time and you got up and you realized that your foot's asleep? You ever done that? Hello? Anybody out there? You ever done that? And you get up and you feel so stupid because you think you're going to walk and you go, what? You know, like, wow, what happened? Now, our feet are an important part of the body, right? So you can't say, well, that's more obvious and that's less obvious. That's behind the scenes. That's up front. So this is more. I mean, we're all important as the body of Christ. And in the local church, everybody is supposed to be doing their thing that God has called them to do in the local church. Can you imagine? I think a lot of times our churches, and I'm not just talking about Oakmount, I'm talking about every church that I pastored. I'm talking about probably about every church in America. If everybody would get on board and say, I'm all in. I'm a hand. Here we go. I'm a foot. Here we go. You know, we would be moving forward. But what's happening? We're crippled sometimes because not everybody is stepping up in the local church doing what God wants them to do. You see, I get excited about the local church. I really do. I get excited that God left the local church in this world. I'm excited to be part of Oakmount. I'm excited that God has gifted me to help the local church. And God has gifted you to help the local church. Man, it's big. You see, all the other functions of the local church, they're also a big job. There's different gifts, there's different ministries, there's different activities, but it's all for the good of all. Some of us are hands, some of us are feet, some of us are ears. And you say, what kind of ministries are you talking about? Well, what about the officers of our church? What about the deacons or the trustees or the treasurer, the youth director, the nursery director, the church clerk, the Sunday school director and the assistant, the Sunday school secretary, the assistant Sunday school secretary, the children's directors? I mean, aren't those other things that may not fit necessarily under the category of reaching the lost or maturing the saints, but they got to be done? You know, these lights, they require power. And guess what? We pay for our power, right? And if our treasurer, Connie, didn't pay the bill for our power, we'd come to church someday and say, boy, it's hot. How come? Because the ACs aren't working. Or it's cold. The furnaces aren't working because there's no electric. We can't see to read the Bible because the lights are... You see what I'm saying? But God has gifted people, put them in offices, and said, I'm going to do it for the glory of God. You see, there's a fair amount of things like that in our church, right? Even other things that aren't official officers, but what about van driver? Van driver. Larry drives the van every Sunday to pick people up. If he's able, and he's been able, I don't know if you've ever missed a Sunday, I'm not sure, on driving the van. Maybe a Sunday, I don't know. It happens. But then he also needs someone to go with him. right? I tell you, riding with Larry, Larry's a good driver. So, it's no big deal. But you know, when John's been off because of Marcia being sick, I've stepped in and went with him on the van. Now, I don't mind doing it. We just go down to the apartments right now. I hope that grows. But you know what? You could step up and say, you know what, Larry? Whenever John can't do it, I can be there. And if Larry's ever absent, I can drive that van. Why wouldn't you? What a privilege to pick up people to bring them to church. What about the ushers? Now, again, I was impressed with the ushers coming down on the same side, perfectly spaced today. I expect that every Sunday, guys, okay? But, I mean, just real practical things. Now, it's not that huge of a responsibility, I have to admit. I don't think it is. But what a privilege. I mean, otherwise, I don't know, if you got an offering, just throw it in the middle aisle. I guess we'll pick it up as we leave. I mean, somebody's got to do it, right? Other things in our church, not only van driver and ushers. What about the folks up on the balcony? I bet those folks up there, Angela and Bruce, I bet they'd like to be down here with us. But you know what? They're doing a job. If they didn't, you wouldn't be seeing the verses. And you wouldn't be seeing the words to the song up there. What a blessing. Now, it may not necessarily, it's all tied into a degree, but it's not necessarily a ministry that's reaching the lost, even though when the lost come, it's a blessing. It's not necessarily a ministry that's maturing the saints, even though it is a blessing to see the verses, and that's helping, absolutely. But it's got to be done. But what a privilege. Most of us want to serve. We want to be useful. Why not be useful in your local church? And say, I'll do that. Step up. I'll do that. We could use some reinforcements up there on the balcony. What about the pianist? Got Amy over there. She's serving the Lord. What about the choir director? Song leader? That happens to be me right now. When the boys are in, they do it. But, you know, and there's many others. I'm sure I've left some out. But the big thing, even, are you ready for this? Ministries like tithing. Woo! Preacher, you're done talking about giving now. Giving to this local church. The reason we can do what we can do is because God's people gives to the local church. But you and I have the privilege of helping the local church function for the glory of God. Four personal values of the local church. The one we've looked at today. Now, I hope this is really practical. I hope we're thinking about this. Again, I'm concerned that Christians take the local church for granted, like we're always going to be there. You know, we need people to step up. We do. We just need people to get serious about God. And if you're not a member of a church, you need, if you can't join this church because you don't like us or don't agree with us, well, then find you one and join that church. It's important that we plug into the local church because that's what God left on this earth to reach the lost, to mature the saints, and everything else that we do for the glory of God. You know, what a blessing and a privilege it is to be able to serve God and be useful to God in the local church. You know, so many people serve. I mean, if you looked at the list of groups they're a part of, it's like, wow. I'm a part of this organization and this group and this. And I'm not saying these are bad groups. Some of them are very good groups. And if you get the opportunity. But you know what ought to be at the top of that list? The local church. The local church. And you say, well, I'm serving in all these other groups. I got these other responsibilities. I can't serve in the local church. I will tell you on the authority of God's word. And as your pastor that loves you supremely, you need to eliminate some of those things and get involved in the local church, or you're never going to become all that God wants you to be. Let me talk to the Christian for just a moment. Every Christian that's here today, are you thankful and grateful for the blessing and opportunity that it is to be useful and serve in the local church? Are you thankful for that opportunity? I'm sure some would say, well, I don't really know because I'm really not really being too useful or too serving. I'm thankful that most people in this church do get behind the projects that we have. And you're very, very helpful. And I don't want to make it sound like nobody is, because a lot of you are. So praise the Lord. But some aren't. Some aren't. I'd encourage you. I don't know. They're missing so many blessings. So many blessings. Are you thankful and grateful for the blessing and opportunity to be able to serve in the local church? Secondly, do you need to join this local church so that you can even be more of a part of this church and more of a blessing as we try to reach the lost, as we try to mature those that are already saved, and as we continue the various ministries that we have? I'd encourage you, if you'd like to join our church, all you got to do is talk to me, and we'll take appropriate steps, and we'll get you a copy of our Constitution. We'd like to see you join. Right now, we got a lot of folks who are not part of our church, who are not members of our church, that have been coming. And I thank the Lord for you. Don't ever think I'm putting a wall up and saying, no, there's no wall at all. I'm thankful. I'm tickled to death that you come to church. But I would like to see you take the next step to join the church. I really would. I'm probably the least pushy preacher on membership that's ever preached behind the pulpit. I don't push a whole lot of that. But I would encourage you to achieve what God wants you to achieve in life and to be all that you can be. I'd encourage you, join a local Bible-believing and preaching church. Oak Mound would be a great one, I think. And then also I want to take just a minute and talk to the lost. I'm that close to being finished. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you know, you're missing the best opportunity in life is to trust Jesus as your Savior. The best opportunity in life is to know why you're on this earth, to serve the Lord, to know where you're going to spend eternity, and to have that joy and peace. And just because you go to church does not mean you are saved. There has to be a time in your life that you've called out to God in sincere prayer and said, God, forgive me. God, save me. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. Baptism doesn't do it. Good works doesn't do it. The only way to be saved is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. I'd encourage you to do that today. If you would bow your head and close your eyes and stand to your feet, please. Amy is going to go to the piano and she's going to play a song that's going to be familiar to a lot of you. The title of it is Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. It's really talking about a church, a local church, and how we're bound together under Christ. And she's going to play through that for a little bit. If God has spoken to your heart today about appreciating and being grateful for this local church, if you feel so led, would you come to the altar and just take a moment and say, God, I thank you for Oak Mound. I thank you for what they stand for. I thank you for what they believe. I thank you for their outreaches to the lost. I thank you for their ministries to the saved. If God has spoken to your heart today, would you come to the altar with a heart of gratitude and say, Lord, just thank you. Thank you for the local church.